Let me share with you those again in case you kind of missed them, because I know the video was a little choppy and the lettering was a little bit fuzzy. So let me share with you those again. 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 95% of couples fight about finance. The number one cause of divorce in America is financially related. The average 28-year-old has $66,000 in debt. The average American, before our current economic doldrums, spent $1.22 for every dollar they earned. 62% of Americans will retire on less than $10,000 a year. Pretty sobering, pretty eye-opening statistics. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as we come to talk about your will and your parameters for how we would manage what you have blessed us with, that you would be with us. Pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to just receive what you'd have us to receive. And Lord, as I've been praying lately and as is true for every message, help me to practice what I preach. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus, that in the end, his name might be lifted up in this place. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Rob Allen. I'm the pastor here at New Season. We're so glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, we're especially happy that you are here to worship with us this morning. We're starting a brand new series of messages this morning called Minding Your Own Business. And we start off with this message, Minding the Business. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's behind that title. But to get back to those statistics that were up in the video and the statistics that I shared, I think if we were to survey all of us, that we would find maybe not the exact statistics that were up there on the screen, but I would hazard a guess that if we were to survey all of us, we would find similar statistics. That if we were to survey our community around here, if we were to survey Massaponics in the greater Fredericksburg area, I think we would find some similar statistics to what was up there on the screen, which I also shared with you. Now, as we move from a series about God's plans for relationships and marriage, which we did for the last 4 weeks, and we moved to a series to talk about how we manage the resources that God has given us, I want to say to you again that just as I wasn't an expert when it came to the whole marriage thing and being a husband thing and the whole relationship thing, so I'm no expert when it comes to all this financial stuff. That I, like many of you, struggle with the same issues. I, like many of you, could fit into some of those statistics. And so what I want to say to you is that I'm not the financial guru, that I don't have all the answers, but I know this. I know the Bible provides us with some guidelines and some answers that we can talk about together, that we can do better together if we have a desire to do better. We can put what God's Word tells us into practice, and we can be, you know, obedient to what God says. Now, some of you, especially if you're back giving the church another try, and I don't mean this particular church per se, but maybe you've been away from the church for a little bit of time, and you say, you know, I'm going to go back to church. I really need to get back to church. Or if you're a person that's never been to church, and you're giving church a try for the first time in your life, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, oh, great, here I am back at church for the first time in a long time, or, you know, coming to church for the first time ever, and there they are talking about money. And you're thinking, good grief. Well, you know, we are talking about money, but we're going to talk about money in this series and in this particular message probably different than you've heard money talked about in any previous experience of church that you've had. We're going to talk about money in a way that's markedly different from the guys on television that beg and plead with you to sow seeds into their ministry. You know, they say, sow seeds into my ministry so that I can have 3 Rolls Royces and 4 vacation homes. We're going to talk about money a little bit different than that. Because in light of the statistics that were in that video and that I shared, in light of the reality that most of us experience and the reality of our community, it's important for us to know what the Bible has to say when it comes to managing the resources that God has given to us. I want to submit to you this morning, church, that what we do with what God has given to us is a profoundly spiritual matter. That it's just as much a spiritual matter as how much we pray or how many times we read the Bible or whether we kick the dog or beat our wife and children. That how we manage what God has given us, especially when it comes to our middle class, our upper middle class, living in suburbia type of way of living, that the message of how we use God's resources is a profoundly spiritual issue. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, He said, where your treasure is, your heart is. Where your treasure is, your heart is. In other words, wherever and for whatever we use what God has given us, that's where our heart is. Wherever we spend our money, wherever we spend our time, wherever we spend our energy, that's where our heart is. Now, Jesus, when He came and walked amongst us, and He taught us, and He showed us the ways, He was profoundly interested in issues of the heart. Jesus was always concerned with issues of the heart and calls followers to put their trust not in earthly treasures that rot and get mildew and rust, but in heavenly treasures and spiritual treasures and treasures where neither rust or moth can destroy. Do you know this? Here's some interesting things. That 66% of the stories of the parables that Jesus told had to do with some issue of money or possessions and how we use them. Do you know that 2,300 verses in the Bible talk about money or possessions? Do you know that there's 5 times as many verses in the Bible that talk about money and possessions as compared to faith and prayer? There's 5 times as many verses talking about money and possessions than there are prayer and faith combined. So I think God thought how we handle our money should be something that we would talk about. I think how we handle our money is something that God thought followers of Jesus should think about. I'm going to talk about how we handle our money because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. All that being said, what does the Bible have to say about how we handle our possessions? What does the Bible have to say about how we handle our money? What does the Bible have to say specifically when it comes to debt? Well, in our Bible, in the first part of our Bibles, is a book that contains a bunch of wise sayings. It contains kind of a bunch of wisdom sayings. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And Proverbs says this, the borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, that word servant in the Bible can also mean a couple of other things. It can also mean to be a slave to. So the borrower can be a slave to the lender. But it can also mean being in bondage. So the borrower is in bondage to the lender. Now, debt, oppressive debt, can leave us truly feeling like we have a ball and chain around us that we're carrying around. It can truly leave us feeling like we are in bondage, that we are bound up like the guy in the video, you know, in the chair where you can't move one way or the other. Now, I want you to understand this, church. I want you to hear what the Bible does not say. The Bible doesn't say that debt and having debt is a sin. So understand that. The Bible doesn't say that it's a sin to have debt. But the Bible does warn that debt is a dangerous thing. And you know what? This kind of makes sense in terms of what the financial gurus tell us. You know, they kind of say that, you know, just like there's good calories and bad calories that you eat, there's good debt and there's bad debt. Some of the good debt, they say, is stuff like, you know, investing in a home and having a mortgage. That's some good debt because, you know, you're hopefully going to have a house that increases in value. And they say, you know, good debt is kind of like student loan debt because, you know, you're bettering yourself. You're increasing your capacity to make more money. Or they say, you know, good debt is kind of investing in your business to grow your business. But then on the other hand, they say, you know, there's bad debt. You know, bad debt is kind of like, you know, the credit card debt that many of us carry around at 19% interest rate. That bad debt is kind of like the car payment that we have for the car that lost significant amounts of value as soon as we drove it off the lot. That bad debt is kind of that high interest debt that we carry around for the boat or for the new trailer or for the motorcycle, that there's good debt and there's bad debt. You know, the Bible warns first, and financial gurus will agree, that even the good debt, you know, the house debt and the educational debt, the business debt, even good debt can become bad debt. It can even become oppressive. Even good debt can become a bondage. It can be like a ball and chain. Now, the vast majority of Americans, including many of us here this morning, find ourselves with that ball and chain. We find ourselves under the bondage of debt in our lives so that it becomes oppressive. So that if you've ever found yourself saying to yourself, you know, I really wish that I could tithe to God through the church. But you know what? I just can't afford it. Then you might be in financial bondage. That if you ever find yourself saying, gosh, I'd like to really go on that mission trip, or I'd really like to contribute to that charity that I really believe in, but you know what? I just can't afford it. Then you might be in financial bondage. Or you know what? If it breaks again, if you ever find yourself saying, if it breaks again, and we all have an it, whether that's the car or the air conditioning system, or some appliance, if it breaks again, I don't know how we're going to afford to fix it. If you ever find yourself saying, if it breaks again, I don't know how we're going to pay for it, you might be in financial bondage. If you ever found yourself saying, you know, gosh, I wish one of us in this marriage could stay home with the kids, but you find yourself saying, we just can't swing it. We just can't afford to do it. If you find yourself saying that, you might be in financial bondage. Now, many of us find ourselves in this bondage, carrying around this ball and chain of oppressive debt because we have bought into the lies of the culture. We bought into the lies of a culture that encourages us and says it's normal to have enormous debt, to be indebted up to the gills. You know, one of those lies goes something like this. Those people who have children, as naturally we would, as good parents, want our children to be better off than we are. We want our children to do better than we are. That's a good thing, I think. I think that's a godly thing. I think that's a good desire to have. The problem, though, kind of comes, especially when they're little children, that we begin to buy things for them again and again, and grandparents, sometimes you don't help, and we do it again and again, so much so that we either go into debt or we send the implicit message to them that they deserve it all and they deserve it right now. And the problem that comes from that is by the time they're 25 years old and they're ready to start their own life, they want the same type of life that their parents had. But their parents, it took them 35 to 40 years to get that kind of life, to get that home, to have those cars. Yet they want it at 25 because their whole life they've been given it on a silver spoon. And so what they do is then they take out loans and they get more and more indebted. That's a lie that the culture has told us. Have it and have it now. Or, you know, for many of us, we also believe that we have to have the latest and greatest. The latest and greatest thing. We just have to have it. That is just eating away at us. You know, when it's out on the market, but we haven't got it yet. We think somehow that it will just make us happier. That will just make our life easier. And so we got to get the newest phone when it comes out, right? Or we're pushed to get the new iPod. Or we're, you know, pushed to get the HD TV, the plasma TV, you know, because it's the latest and greatest, and we think that it, if we just had it, it would make us so happy. We believe we can't be happy without it. And then we always believe, you know, the lie that it's just inevitable, you'll always have a car payment. You know, we just think, yeah, you just always have a car payment, but that's not always true. It's interesting to me that, you know, in the most prosperous country in this world, in the most prosperous country ever in history, that we're often the most unhappy people when it comes to our treasures, when it comes to what we have. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Haven't companies done a stellar job of raising up a generation of Americans to feel okay about being in financial bondage? You see, normal today is to carry the debt of car payments, multiple ones, student loan payments, multiple credit card payments, house payments, and whatever else kind of payments you might have. What happens, though, when this happens, is that the life for those who follow Jesus becomes in bondage. And it becomes in bondage to debt. And debt becomes our ruler. Instead of Christ being our ruler and our Lord. And when that happens, guess what? The church becomes impotent because the church of Jesus Christ can't give generously because it's so concerned with just paying off their debt. That's a sad state of affairs. Now, let me share some good news with you, okay? I've depressed you enough up to this point, right? We're all ready to see the credit counselor. But let me share with you some good news as it relates to this bondage of debt that we find ourselves under sometimes. If we were to read the Bible throughout, especially in the second part of the Bible called the New Testament, what we would find is that God has given to each of us a business. He has given to each of us a business to run. Now, this business has to do with managing the resources that He has given to us. He has said, here, I am making you in charge of your own business. Your business is to manage my money. Your business is to manage my resources that I'm giving to you for a time. And what we see is that in the stories that Jesus told, and I especially think of two, one about a shrewd manager and another about three guys that were given differing amounts of money to invest while their master was gone. In all the stories that Jesus told about managing God's money, God loves to reward those who are faithful in carrying out His business. In the stories that Jesus told, God loves to reward those who are faithful in running His business. God loves to reward those people. In some of those stories, it's the one who faithfully manages what God has given them. God gives them more. The master in the story gives them more. He says, to the one who has done well, I will give more and say, well done, good and faithful servant. God has given us the same business of managing the resources that He has given us. If you kind of think about that, that what you have comes from God, that we don't really own it, but we are called to be stewards of it, caretakers of it. That one day we're going to have to give it back. No U-Hauls to heaven, right? But in the meantime, we're to kind of manage it, to do well with it. When you begin to see what you have as minding the business that God has given to you, it changes your perspective. It changes the way you look at things. It changes what you do with your stuff. It changes how you use your stuff. Now, if we're in the business of managing God's resources that He has given us, we know that it's necessary for businesses to have a plan. Small businesses that are starting out, large corporations, if they want to do well, they better have a plan. Proverbs, that same book of wisdom sayings, says in Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste, not planning, leads to poverty." So when it comes to, you know, using what God has given us, when it comes to allocating the resources He's poured out on us, what's your plan? What's my plan? How are we planning to use that in this business that God has given to us? There's an old cliche that says, fail to plan, plan to fail. Fail to plan, you better plan to fail. The business plan of managing God's resources, I think, starts with defining, seeking out, discerning, figuring out what God's vision for our lives are. It's figuring out what our purpose is in life. It's asking God in prayer and getting before Him and saying, God, what would You have me to do in my life? Who would You have me to be? What would You have my family to do? What would You have us to be? I want to ask each of you to think about that question this week, to pray to God about, God, what is Your purpose for my life? What is Your vision for my life? What is Your purpose for my family? What's Your vision for my family? In the end, church, we don't want to be driven by the pursuit of money, but we want to be driven by the pursuit of the vision that God has for our lives. We want to be driven by the purpose that God has given to us. You want God's plan for your life to drive you. The vision God might give to you, I don't know what it will be. We have to figure that out ourselves, but you know what? Your vision might be to send your child to a private Christian school. I don't know. That's not everybody's vision. I'm not saying that's the best in all circumstances, but that might be what God lays on your heart, to send your children to a private Christian school. And you think, of the resources and the business that God has given me, how do I do that? How do I allocate what God has given me? How do I reallocate? How do I realign? How do I cut back? And where do I cut back in order to live out this vision that God has given to me? Or you know what? Your vision might be for one of the two spouses to stay home with the children. But you think, how can I do that? Well, that's a call to look at what your resources are, how you're handling them, what you can do to cut back, where you can take from to put somewhere else, and begin to realize the vision. And that might not be everybody's vision, but it might be your vision. You know, your vision might be to quit your full-time job, take a part-time job, and help out at various agencies around this community. That might be what God is calling you to. That might be your purpose. Again, how can you realign and reallocate what God has given you so that you can realize that purpose? You know, your vision and your purpose that God might be calling you to is to be the full-time youth pastor here at New Season Church. Right? And so how do you realign your allocation, your resources to realize that vision? I don't know what God has for your vision, but I know this. If you can figure it out, God will help you to get there. Romans 13:8, which Sue read this morning, says this: "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." Here's the question that's been eating at me all week as I prepared this message, and I hope that if you're in a similar place, it will eat at you. How is your debt, the bondage of debt, holding you back from living out that purpose that God has called you to? How is the bondage of debt holding you back from living out the vision that God has for you or your family? How is the bondage of debt preventing you from being even more generous and blessing other people, and loving other people? I mean, just imagine it, if you will. if you could be freed from the slavery to debt, what you might do, who you might bless, how you might live out your purpose or the vision God has given you. Imagine being freed from debt to the point where you don't have those arguments about money in your marriage and debt. Imagine being freed from debt, that gone is the hurt and the worry, the stress and the panic because of debt. Getting out from the bondage of debt, it might save your marriage and it might save your sanity. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be slaves to God, not to debt, not to things, not to possession. We cannot fully give all of ourselves. We can't be radical and empowered followers of Jesus if we got this ball and chain and dragging it all around. So the question is, where do we start? Where do we begin? First comes with having the right mindset. So know this, no matter what's happened in your past in terms of debt or anything else, no matter how difficult things seem right now and how heavy that ball is at the end of the chain, hear this as God speaking to you, that He loves you, that He's the God of the universe and nothing is too big for Him, not even your debt, that He's trusting you to manage His resources, but He will help. You're not alone. He'll never leave you or forsake you. What we're going to do is seek Him and seek His help. What we're going to do is ask for Him to pour out His Spirit upon us and trust His principles. I hope you're at a place today to say, I'm ready. That I desire, God, to wisely manage what You have given me for Your glory. That one day, I want to be free from debt so that I can bless others. So that I can continue to live out my purpose and vision that You've given me. So that I can hear You say, when I get to the gates of heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. To say, I want to honor Him as a good manager. That I don't want to be driven by the things of the world, but I want to be driven by His Spirit. That I want to live and manage His resources according to His plan and to please Him. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that the power of Your Holy Spirit change our hearts and our minds, that we could just see ourselves as managing Your resources, that we could see ourselves as Your manager in a business that You've given to us, wanting to please You, O God. Help us, God, to follow Your principles, not the principles of a broken, indebted world, but Your principles, O God, to follow You. God, help us to be different when it comes to our finances. Indeed, even help us to be weird, not to be normal, but to follow You. God, give Your people vision. Give us today, sitting in this place, hope. Vision as to what is possible, hope for what is to come. Lord, help us not to be driven by how much we can make, but driven by Your Spirit, to heed Your calling, to be set free. Oh, set Your people free, O God. Help us as we start this journey today, following You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.